James Stent is a journalist with Ground Up. And James, your researching of Zelani Matthews' CV suggests something completely other than somebody who is super fit for the job.
Good afternoon, John. Yeah, and thank you for having me on. This story is very confusing. The statements that Pras released do not make sense. In large part, we're in agreement with Paul. The reason given that he has British dual citizenship doesn't track. He has been appointed to other senior roles in the state, including as a councillor for ICASA, and he was chairperson of the ports regulator. What this does suggest is that the board of PRASA has quite suspect vetting processes, because an investigation into Zelani Matthews' background in the time that he was understood or known as Khosi and was operating in the USA, so shows quite a dramatic story.
People who want the full story need to go along to Ground Up or the Daily Maverick and have a look at the article. But for those who are not prepared to go to those lengths, sum up, please.
Zelani Matthews, well, used to go by Khosi Matthews, and he lived in exile, son of Joe Matthews, sibling to Naledi Pandor, the foreign minister. And in the 1980s, he met up with Jesse Jackson and ultimately became an employee of his during Jesse Jackson's 1988 presidential campaign. A few years later, he met a Chicago politician by the name of Carol Moseley Braun, who had aspirations to challenge the Democratic incumbent in the state of Illinois for the Senate. He was greatly appreciated by Carol Braun and became her campaign manager. But while Carol was ultimately successful in winning the Democratic nomination and ultimately defeat for the Senate, her campaign was mired in controversies, many of which Khosi Matthews was central to. There were allegations of sexual harassment, which were investigated and found to be baseless, but continued on as a major angle of attack for opposition politicians at the time. There was allegations of improper use of campaign finances. His character
allegations, James.
Allegations, but allegations that were used by political opponents successfully. There were two investigations into conduct. What was really damning, though, between Matthews and Braun was that subsequent to her election victory in 1992, Matthews became a lobbyist for the dictatorship of Sani Abacha. Sani Abacha was the Nigerian dictator who is most famous now for, or infamous rather, for murdering or ordering the execution of Ken Saro-Wiwa, the activist who opposed the drilling for oil in the Niger Delta.
And we know that Nelson Mandela made a phone call from New Zealand, where he was at the time, to try and prevent that execution from going ahead. He failed.
Precisely. Now, through Matthews, Braun was the only member of Congress to be lobbying or speaking out for the Abacha regime, which is hugely embarrassing, not just for the Democratic Party, but for U.S. politics in general. She would take trips to the U.S., with Matthews. They were romantically involved and engaged up until 1994.
There's more to it, so people who are interested in what they've heard, go along to Ground Up and read the rest. And some of the allegations might be true. Some of the allegations might be mostly true. Some of them might be completely untrue at all, and it might just be that he rubbed people up the wrong way, which some people do. But how is any of that germane to his performance in South Africa? Why is it not possible for him to have this checkered history and at the same time be trying to clean out the very dirty stables at PRASA? And so the reason for his precautionary suspension, could it not be the reason that Paul Hoffman suggested? I don't know. One of my eternal problems with these kinds of stories is, how do you separate the truth from the lie? How do you separate the misinformation from the real information? How do you separate one person's version of events from another's?
Well, I agree. It is difficult to tell. There are a couple of indicators that we might look at to see whether or not he was attacking corruption. One that I've paid attention to is the matter of Martha Ngoyi, the head of legal at PRASA, who has been on suspension since she was placed there by Leonard Ramatlakane. And Matthews has gone along with and actively supported PRASA's attempts to fire her from that position. Now, Martha Ngoyi has saved PRASA billions of rands, whether from the cancelling of the Sofumba contract to Siyangena matters. If there's one person you would want on board for a corruption-busting campaign, it would be Martha Ngoyi. I think there's a much more simple explanation, which is that PRASA is probably going to miss its performance targets. We were promised that by the end of 2021, the central line would be reopened. We know that's not going to happen. There are still people living on the longer line. The issue at play is that PRASA's problems require a whole-of-government approach with ministerial cooperation between national government, local and provincial, and that's not happening. And that reflects poorly on the people in higher positions, the minister and the board of PRASA. But if you want to make it look like you're doing something without actually doing much, you sack a person in charge.
James Dent, journalist with GroundUp. So two very, very different takes on the story, GroundUp and Paul Hoffman. And sorry to use the cliche, but acquaint yourself with the stories or with the versions told by each and see which one you find the more convincing. I'm tending towards finding the GroundUp version more convincing. It's more detailed.